blessed time that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride united with the groom. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Shall see the King when he comes, for he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour, and we shall see the King. Number 300, let's sing, "We Shall See the King When He Comes." Praise the Lord. Number 300.
My mistake.
There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride united with the groom. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour, and we shall see the King when he comes. Are you ready? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, "Well done," or go away? For my home is for the pure, the vile can never stay, and we shall see the King when he comes. Oh yes, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the King when he comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior, King and Lord of all? The kingdoms of this world shall soon before him fall, and we shall see the King when he comes. Oh yes, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour, and we shall see the King.
What a day that will be. What a day that will be. I want you to be there. If you miss that, you miss the meetings of all meetings. Oh, what a Savior we serve. Now, the moment, listen to me now, the moment of death, the moment of death, you see the Shekinah presence of Jesus Christ. That's his manifest presence. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, now, is that in the Bible? Well, it is in the Bible. It says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, you're not going to see him up there in heaven and not see him in his manifest glory. He will not be as Jesus that walked the shores to do ministry. It will be as the Christ glorified in the Holy Scripture. Now today, we're going to start with the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 10. But I'm going to carry you all the way from Genesis to many parts of the Bible and show you the manifest presence of Jesus Christ, God's Son. There is nothing that you will ever study in this Bible more breathtaking than a manifest presence of Jesus Christ. We call that Shekinah. I want you to learn that word today. Shekinah. Shekinah. The word Shekinah. It means manifest presence of God. I've heard a lot of people put down that word and think it's something vicious and something diabolical. No. There are times when the devil will try to manifest his presence, and the devil will put on a show, and the devil's crowd will do everything they can to come against the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is the glorified person who has been exalted into manifest glory. And when you see Shekinah, when you see or feel Shekinah. Sometimes you just experience Shekinah in your heart, in emotion. And I've had many experiences of that nature. I've never seen His Shekinah glory, but one day, very shortly, I will see it. My Juanita, on September the 10th, last year, 2017, saw the Shekinah presence of Jesus Christ. Now, I want every one of you to think about it. When you die as a saint of God, when it's time for you to move up there with Him, you will see Him in His glory. There's no other way to see Him up there but in His glory. And the Bible is full of that picture. The Old Testament had many experiences of the glory of the Lord. And of course, in the New Testament, we will look at those experiences. Remember the three chosen disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration? And they saw His face. We'll read that in a little bit. They saw His face shining like the sun. They saw Him in His manifest glory. They saw Him in His manifest glory. And when they saw Him, there was a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear you Him." Oh, friend, it's a wonderful thing to understand that God is as real as anything you ever have touched, and even more real than anything you've ever touched. Now, let's go to Revelation. I want you to get a picture of this. This is the manifest presence of Jesus Christ that John the Revelator saw. He didn't hear it. It wasn't spoken to him. It was a vision before him. He literally saw the manifest glory of the Lord. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That was Sunday. I was in the Spirit on the first day of the week, the Lord's day. You got that? Very important. Right there in the Bible. That's Revelation 1 and 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia." And he named them Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. And he sent this letter to those seven great churches. And I turned, and this is John saying this, I turned to see the voice that spake to me. I turned to see the voice. He wanted to see the person behind the voice. And so he turned to see the voice that spake with him, with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his hair was eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, that's not all of it. I'll read the rest. But here is a manifest picture of the presence of Jesus Christ. John, the Revelator, saw this. He didn't hear this. It wasn't spoken to him. He saw it. And that's the beauty of the whole book of Revelation, because it is a drama on top of a drama, one drama after the other. And John saw them. The word saw or seen or some denotion of that is seen about 26 times, I think, in the book of Revelation. So John saw. The whole book of Revelation, except chapters 2 and 3, were visions that John saw. So you can't deny this book unless you deny what John actually looked upon and then wrote about and was told to write it and send it unto the church. I mean, how plain can you get? How plain does the Lord have to be for you to know that the book of Revelation is not a fantasy story? It's not some dream of a man who was out of his mind. It was a drama. It was a heavenly drama. It was God allowing the angels of heaven to act out in front of John the scenes of this great book. And the first one is the manifest presence of Jesus Christ. The manifest presence of Jesus Christ. And listen, When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now, listen to me. I missed verse 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. Shineth in his strength. Now, friend, we're talking about something so grand and so beautiful, and this is all going to continue and happen. The book of Revelation is future. Future, except for chapters 2 and 3, this vision John saw, then chapters 2 and 3 are seven letters to seven churches, which includes all of us, and then the end time part of it begins with chapter 4, verse 1. And so here is a picture of John seeing the manifest presence of Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about the moment of death? The moment that a saint of God dies, I'm not talking about the wicked, I'm only talking about saints of God. The moment that a saint of God dies, they enter the presence of Christ, and the Bible makes it plain, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The moment of absence from this body is the very moment of presence from the Lord, or with the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, and we'll see him in his manifest glory. Hallelujah. And we'll see him in his manifest glory. Now, when you get in your Bible and you begin to study this subject, it is really breathtaking. I don't know how much you are excited about death, but death is not some horrible enemy any longer. Death has been conquered for the saint of God. Well, I know it's painful for us left here, but I'm talking about for the person who dies. There is no pain in death. The moment of death is the moment you are present and see the manifest presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I never really thought about that till studying for this broadcast, that literally at death, you see the manifest presence of Christ. It can't be any different. The Bible is absolute. The Bible is infallible. You can depend on every word of it. It is true indeed. Amen and amen. Now, all of this beauty goes all the way back in the scripture. And there's so many beautiful things. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 14 and verse 19. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 19. And we see how this all begun. Now listen to me. I'll read to you. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went by behind them. And the pillar of cloud was from before their face and stood behind them. And it came to pass between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to the Egyptians, to them. But it was a great light by night to those who were among the children of Israel. Now, that, as far as I know in the Bible, is the first time that God revealed his manifest glory. It was like a cloud. It was a heavenly presence, holy and righteous. And the Egyptians behind Israel were saw nothing but darkness. It was dark to them. But on the other side of the light, it was light to the children of Israel, because it was God's glory. And it went before them. And you understand, it went before them all the way until they entered the promised land. Now, if you'll get the message that God is sending us, Jesus Christ is our light from the moment we are born again until we get to the promised land. Now, we don't see it as they saw it, except occasionally in a great church service. I remember being in camp meeting over here on Wilkerson Boulevard when I was just a young Christian in my teens. And I remember the glory of God coming in that tabernacle. And it was like a cloud. I saw it as it entered on one side of that building and moved across to the other side of that building. And the people who were under that cloud, it was like wheat field. I was a farm boy, and I've seen wheat fields when they blew in the the wind, and you would see like it was it would move the whole wheat field as it moved. And that's how I saw it when it came into the tabernacle at the Church of God campgrounds many years ago. We're talking about 64, 65, somewhere between 62 and 66 years ago that I saw this, and I've never seen it since. Because you see, as the church loses its fire and loses its devotion and loses its right relationship with God, when holiness disappears and godliness is forsaken, and the church world begins to live a worldly, impure life, that cannot happen. That cannot appear. And the reason the church world today is so absent of anyone seeing the manifest presence of God is because of its backslid condition. The church is in a state of apostasy, a state of backsliding, backslid, and so they're seeing no glory. Now, let me tell you something you can do. You can go and get the material, and you can find it on the internet. It's in a lot of books about the great revivals, Hebrides revival, South African revival, numbers of great revivals, when the presence of God was there. And people saw the literal presence of God. I mean, it was so real, you could not doubt it. I was reading one day, one of the great writers, a Presbyterian man, and he told about going to one of these revivals, and he said it was glory. He said there was nowhere to be seated because the place was so crowded, but the glory of God would just come, move across the audience, and he told about that glory. Well, church, that Shekinah glory is still real in the heavens. It's still real with our Father. It's still real with our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And maybe we're going to have a revival before the rapture and see that. If we don't have a revival before the rapture, I promise you, when Jesus comes in the clouds, the saints of God will see his manifest presence. And they will rise to meet him in the air. And then they will follow him to heaven. And when he comes, it will be his manifest presence. When he comes, when the rapture takes place, when the rapture occurs, it will be the manifest presence of Jesus Christ coming down into the clouds. The Bible says he will come to get us. He doesn't just call us to him. He comes in the midair and calls us up in the midair. And then we go together into the heavens to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, friend, you can believe this and you can doubt me. That's up to you. I can only give you what's in the Bible. I can only tell you what the scripture says, but I want you to know it's going to be a glorious day. Now, I want to make sure you get all of this because it's exciting to me. It is very exciting to me. Let's go to Exodus 24, and I want you to see how the Lord has revealed himself at times in this Holy Bible. It's beautiful. You understand that when God gave Moses the instruction to build the temple, the tabernacle, actually, the temple was in Jerusalem, the tabernacle in the wilderness. And Moses went up, and the mount and a cloud covered the mount. Moses went up in the mountain. Now, this is not the tabernacle. This is Moses going up to receive the instruction and to receive the Ten Commandments. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord. Now listen to this. The glory, the manifest presence of the Lord. The glory of the Lord above upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day, this is Moses. Moses called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. That was the Lord called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire as the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the fiery cloud. And Moses went into the midst of the fiery cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I won't try to read the scripture for you. But when Moses came back, his face shone so bright that they had to cover his face with a covering because the people could not look upon his face. It was so glorious. Now, I'm talking about the manifest presence of God, the manifest presence of the Lord. It's always the Lord Jesus manifesting himself to the church, to his people, because he is the glory of the Father. Jesus is the glory of the Father. He is the Son of God, and he manifests the glory of the Godhead, the glorious Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And that presence was so real that Moses' face was lit up like a light. And the people of the Jews at the bottom of that mount had to cover his face because they couldn't look upon him. It was so glorious. In fact, later when God appeared to them, they said to Moses, "Hey, tell God to show himself to you, but not to us, because we cannot take it. We cannot stand it. It's beyond our ability." Well, that's because of how they lived, how careless they lived, how worldly they lived, how unspiritual. Moses was a spiritual man. I mean, he walked with God. He talked to God face to face, the Bible said. That's a beautiful thing to think about. Now, you see, the manifest presence of God is so real all through the Bible. I am amazed at how often you can see it. I would like to go a little further here. I had to make notes for myself. Go to chapter 40 of Exodus. Chapter 40 of Exodus. I want to make sure you understand how God came down in that time of the dedication. I hope I've got it marked right here. And a cloud, here it is, chapter 40 of Exodus, verse 34. "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the tabernacle because the cloud above their own and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now this is when Moses was dedicating the tabernacle in the wilderness. And people hear this and they say, "Oh, that's the Old Testament. Those kind of things don't happen in the New." Well, you hang on. I will show you they do happen in the New, and I will show you that the church in our day is so apostate and so departed from the way of the Lord, and men, even preachers, spend little time in prayer. I'm trying my best to get my congregation praying like they should, even the preachers in my congregation praying like they should, and it's almost impossible. They just don't get the message. They just don't get the understanding, and I don't know why. This is true everywhere throughout the church world. There is such an absence of understanding that God wants to reveal himself, that God wants to make himself known. I will show you before this program is over how Paul the apostle spoke in the New Testament and told us that our glory in today's church should be greater and should supersede what was seen in the wilderness. Our glory. And when the church is really on fire, and when there is a moving of the Holy Spirit, when the church is taken over by the movement and the order and the direction of the Holy Spirit, the church will become a place like that. Because I know I got saved 66 years ago. I got saved before Pentecost began to backslide. I'm literally telling you, I got saved before Pentecost began to backslide. The Pentecostal churches were absolutely on fire back in those early days. And I've had many preachers to call me and say, "How can we get back to that?" And they want to get back to that without going back to one thing. One thing they've got to go back to, and that's holiness. Godly, holy, biblical living. Not my opinion, not my standards, not what I teach you, because I don't teach anything but what's in the book, but not what any preacher would teach you. It's this Bible that you've got to live by if you're going to see the glory of God. This Bible, I mean to the letter. I don't mean halfway. Somebody says, "Well, I go out and buy my dinner on Sunday." You'll never see the glory of God if you shop and go out to buy on the Lord's Day. Because the Sunday is the Lord's Day, and if you don't keep it holy, you're not going to be holy, okay? And is that true with every commandment in the Bible? There's 10 commandments, And there's many other statements of holiness and righteousness, and I'm calling you back to the Bible. That's all I'm, don't think about me. Don't ask me for the standard. You go to the Bible and ask the Bible for the standard. Ask the Bible. Read the Ten Commandments and keep all 10 of them. I mean, keep them to the letter of the law. Keep them to the letter of the Bible. Did you know that Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to get that scripture real good. Except your righteousness, this is the Bible, exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of the Lord. Well, that's pretty strong truth, but it's what the Bible says, and it's exactly what I believe, and it's what I'm determined to live every day of my life. I'm determined to walk in those laws of God's righteousness, because they are for us to live by. No ifs and ands about it. Now, let's go to 2 Chronicles 7 and 11. 2 Chronicles 7 and 11. Because you got to understand that when the tabernacle was dedicated, the same thing happened. That's 2 Chronicles 7 and 1. Now, I want you to remember, the 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, you will hear it quoted all the time. If my people, which are called by my name, will turn from their sins, humble themselves, seek my face, I will hear from heaven and heal their lands. That's 7:14. I want you to listen to 7:1. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And he goes on to show us, and the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Is that not beautiful? Is that not powerful? Well, that's exactly what happened. And then we get over to verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble them. These are the people where the glory of the Lord was upon them. These are the people who had walked with God and prayed until the fire of God had fell upon their church, the house of God. You know, I was saved in a church in East Burlington, North Carolina. And this was before I was saved. They were having church one Sunday night, and the fire came over top of the building and set over the roof of that building. They even called the fire department neighbors, thinking the church was on fire. Well, I was in Burlington a few weeks ago to visit a man who was in the church when I was saved in 1952. He was only 14, and he was not there to remember when that fire fell. But I'm at his house, and we're talking, and I brought it up, and a man sat in there who was my age, 80-something. He said, "Oh, Reverend Chambers, my mother saw that and called me, and I saw it." And he said, we lived across the street from the church. This was about 1914. I was saved in 52. About 1914, 1918, somewhere right in there. He said, I actually saw it. My mother saw it. She saw it in its full glow. I only saw kind of the last part of it as it dissipated and disappeared. And he said, I was actually there. Well, you see, this is what you see in the Bible. Read it again. You read it for yourself. 2 Chronicles 7. Read how the glory of the Lord came down, filled the church. And then as it continues to deal with these very people now that are there when this is happening, this is taking place. And he says to them, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Church, listen to me. Turn from your worldly living. Turn from your careless dress. Turn from the places you hang out at and the places you go and the way you conduct your life and the language you use and the habits that you are possessed by, tobacco, whatever. Listen, you turn from all of that and you turn to Christ and you too can see and know the beauty of God's glory. You see, this church at Paul Creek is praying right now for God to show us His glory, for us to reach an unsaved world. We don't want glory to give us honor. We don't want anything to happen that we might be elevated. We want to see God's glory, that people might come to know Christ and be wonderfully converted and wonderfully saved. Now, I can carry on. Let's go to the book of Acts. You see, you got to get in the New Testament to understand this is not something just for Old Testament Christians. That is a shame for us to even consider. Look with me if you would. Look with me if you will. I mean, let's let the Bible speak for itself. How many of you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. A rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And that rushing mighty wind, along with the sound, filled the house. Filled the house. That's what the book says now. That's what the book said. And it filled the house where they were sitting. They weren't even standing. They were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now again, that manifest presence of Jesus Christ. They didn't see Jesus. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit came to represent Jesus. Anything the Holy Ghost does is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ, a representation of His glory. The Holy Spirit never glorifies Himself. He never does anything for you to get your eyes on the Holy Spirit. Everything the Holy Spirit does, He does for you to get your eyes on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the mighty Savior. Now, that's what you see as the New Testament church began. That is the beginning. That is the early stage. That is the absolute formula for the New Testament church. This is the pattern. You take the book of Acts chapter 2 and you just study that whole chapter and you see that beautiful picture of the New Testament church as it begins its operation. And you go to the last chapter of the book of Acts and you'll find there is no ending to the last chapter of the book of Acts. The Presbyterians of 1950, this was after Pentecostal churches begun in 1906, about that day, a few years there, give or take. You read the different stories about it. But this is 40 years after that. And there had been a Pentecostal revival over in the Hebrides Islands among those Presbyterian churches. And people fell under such conviction, they would fall in the road and say, please send for a preacher. My sins have overwhelmed me. I've got to repent. And all over that island, thousands came to Christ and were repented and flooded those Presbyterian churches. I'm not talking about Pentecostals. I'm talking about Presbyterians. Well, it was true with the Methodists. I read the other day that some man during John Wesley's day was putting down the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues. And John Wesley wrote him an article and said, hey, wait a minute, sir. I beg to differ with you. I'm right here among people that are experiencing the move of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Friend, this is part of God's church. I have a story, not a story, a quote from the Sowers History Book. The Sowers History Book of the Christian Church. And it documented that the beginning of the Reformation, the very man who nailed his theses to the Wittenberg Chapel in Germany, the very man, Martin Luther, that he was full of the Holy Ghost. All nine gifts of the Spirit was operative in his life. He spoke in tongues. He interpreted. He healed the sick. He had the gift of discernment. I mean, wherever there's revival, there's a move of the manifest presence of Jesus Christ. There can be no revival without a manifest presence of Jesus Christ. It may come just in a glorious cloud that fills the building. It literally may. And someone may see a glimpse of the Lord Himself. I've never seen a glimpse of Him. Boy, have I felt His glory. Woo! I can hardly stand to talk about it because I know how real this is. I know how wonderful. This Bible is infallible. Every word of it is infallible. I don't believe anything but what's in this Bible. But I believe everything that's in this Bible, rightly divided. And if John saw it in about AD 95, if John saw the glory of the Christ, and you read, I've got quotes, all kind of quotes for hundreds of years after that, where they were crying out for the moving of the Holy Spirit and for people to be healed and for people, once they were prayed for, to receive the baptism and speak in other languages. I mean, it was just in the church. It has flooded the church all through these years, most of the time in isolated places among people like the Anabaptists. You could name some of those many groups that had great times of revival, and they had mighty moving of the Holy Spirit. I've read stories of Methodist people praying and seeking God for hours, and the Holy Spirit would come upon them. They'd begin to speak in other tongues, and they didn't call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They just called it the ministry of God, the ministry of Christ. That's what God wants to do again. Hey, is anybody out there that agrees with this old-timey preacher? I'm telling you what's in the book. I'm telling you what's in history books. There's no doubt. There's no question. And I want you to call. I want now, for the rest of this program, if I can, to talk with those of you who are listening to me. Here's the numbers, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Here's a toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. I want to hear from you. I want to answer your question. I want to talk about what I've been sharing with you. I want to hear your question. I want you to disagree with me if that's what you feel. That will be good for us to talk on both sides. I'm not here to force anything on you. If you don't want to believe the Bible, I can't make you. But if you believe the Bible, you're going to have to believe what I'm saying, because I'm reading it right out of the Bible. I mean, it's right in the book. It's right in the book. Let me read to you while you're called. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I've got so much here today I want to get to you that I'm trying to be mighty careful, because I want you to get the picture that I'm trying to paint for you. Now, I want you to get hungry. I want to find some people listening to me who will set yourself to pray. That you'll go, like this coming Thursday night, we have an all-night prayer meeting here. Right here in the sanctuary, from 7 to 7, we'll be praying all night, Thursday night, this week. All night. Just old-fashioned prayer. Don't come if you want to talk. Don't come if you want to, get somewhere and interrupt somebody. You only come if you can get on your face and stay there. Or get on your knees and stay there. Or sit down, if you're old like me, and stay there. And stay in the book for 12 hours. In the book, 12 hours. No talking, no gossiping, no trying to convince one another of nothing, only to pray. And we'd like to have you to come. And by the way, this article that I have written on this very subject is available. All you got to do, let me get you in front of the camera here. All you got to do is call and get a copy of it, okay? God's Shekinah. God's Shekinah, seen at the moment of death. I'm emphasizing that this is what happens to a Christian when they die. They are immediately with the Lord, and they see His manifest glory. Can you believe that? They see His manifest presence. I hope everybody listening is sending this to everybody on your Facebook list. Everybody on your Facebook list ought to see this. Everybody. I've got 4,000 and some Facebook friends, nearly 5,000. And I want every one of you to send this to every friend you've got. We would probably touch 100,000 people today. And would that not be wonderful? And what could happen if they would see Second Chronicles chapter 7 and see what precedes those verses? But if my people, which are called by my name, will seek my face. You're talking to people that saw the glory of God. You're talking to people that had been in the very manifest presence of the great Jehovah. And then He tells them if they'll seek His face and turn from their ways, that He'll show Himself to them. He'll reveal Himself to them and manifest Himself to them. Do you want to see a manifestation of the presence of God? Are you willing? Are you interested? Let me read to you. Chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. Make sure I get the right verse here. Let me get the right verses. I want you to hear it, and I want to convince you that what I'm talking about is really real. Let's go to 2 Corinthians verse 7. That's chapter 3, 7. But if, now listen, the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious. It's talking about Moses' day and the ministration that Moses, God used Moses to institute the stones of Ten Commandments. If the ministration of death written and engraved in stone, remember it was God who engraved them in the Ten Commandments stones, was glorious, so glorious that the children of Israel could not stand a steadfast behold the face of Moses. If that glory was so glorious that they could not behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, the glory, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, that began with the day of Pentecost, that began with the day of the disciples in the upper room. How shall not, my friend, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be even more glorious? What happened to Moses and to the children of Israel is to be exceeded by the church, is to be a model of which the church builds on, but which does not stop the church, that the church beholds beyond that, greater than that. Now, church, I'm talking to you about the Bible, not Brother Chambers. I'm going to read this again now, because I'm sure somebody out there is not believing it. I got that feeling. I got the feeling you think I've lost it. No, I haven't lost it. Still old Brother Chambers, loving the Bible, staying right in the book, being faithful to the word. Do we begin again? Wait a minute, verse 7. But if the ministration of the Spirit, if the ministration of death, I'm sorry, Old Testament, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfast behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. That glory ended when Jesus came and died on the cross. Jesus is far beyond the glory of that Old Testament experience. What happened to Moses is wonderful, but it is exceeded by the Pentecostal experience in the book of Acts and in the great New Testament church. How shall not the ministration of the Holy Spirit be rather glorious? Now read it for yourself. It says Spirit, I added Holy. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Where is the church? What has happened to the church? Backslid, apostate, turned to the world. They take the Bible and make mincemeat out of it. They got all kinds of new versions that are not translations. They're transliterations, they call them. That means they say what they think the scripture meant. They don't say the actual scripture. Well, that's what the NIV is. And that's why your church is backslid, using the NIV. That's why the Holy Ghost anointing is gone. That's why all you've got is a form. I mean, that's what's left. The church as a whole. Now, there's exceptions. Don't forget that. There's exceptions. They're not denominational. It's not some particular group that has the exception. It's people anywhere and everywhere who get in the Bible and go by the Bible, who believe the Bible, who live by the Bible, that God reveals himself, makes himself known. I love that. You get it now. You go read it to your pastor tomorrow and shake him up. Shake him up. 2 Corinthians. Now, I'm not talking about Old Testament. I'm talking about New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 starts with verse 7, and you can read it right on down, and it makes it plain that what happened in the Old Testament is not to be but a shadow of what happens in the New Testament church. If your church is not experiencing the visitation of the Holy Spirit, it's simply because your church is not up to the Bible standard. That's all you can say. It's us, it's me, it's all of us. We're all in the same bucket. We haven't been as real with God as we should have been. Our churches had to repent and resurrender ourselves and get back out on the streets and start witnessing, knocking on doors. I'm trying to get every member in the church to become a soul winner. I want to tell you something. If you're not a soul winner, I don't think you're going to be in the bride of Christ. If you're not a soul winner, I don't think you've earned the right for the bride of Christ until you become a soul winner. That's your gift to him when he gives you all the beauty of New Jerusalem. Well, there's so much here, and you're not calling. I wonder if I'm over your head. I think I am for most of you, and I don't mean that to brag on me. I'm telling you, I just believe the Bible. And I want to hear from you now. Grab your phone and call me at 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. Now, you can get this free booklet. And I want everybody out there now to call and ask for the copy of this free booklet. One after the other. Grab your phone. And then some of you, if you have a question, you disagree with something, you think I've lost it, you just want to know, you're hungry and you want to know, you'd like to be a part of something like this. You'd like to be part of a Holy Ghost revival where sinners are coming by the scads and really getting saved. Where old drunks are getting rid of the alcohol and harlot women are getting free of their harlotry. And godless men who've left their wives and live like the old Lucifer and they need to repent and get right with God. All over my listening audience to the ends of this earth, I'm here to tell you God's Holy Spirit is on this broadcast right now. I believe it with all my heart. And God's Holy Spirit is moving you to repent and get yourself right with God. Get in this Bible and start living by the whole Word of God. Brother Chambers, we don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, who changed them? Who told you didn't? What did Jesus say in the book of 1 John? If any man say he loves me and keeps not my commandments, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. Is that what he said? Yes, that's what he said. If you say you love me and keep not my commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. Oh, Brother Chambers, what are you doing? I'm calling the church to repent. I'm calling the church exactly what 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and heal their lands. Notice it said lands. That could mean America. The church in America. If I could get 100 churches doing what I'm preaching today, I guarantee you we would shake America to the core. I guarantee you there'd be a move of God that would be amazing. We are determined right here at this church to have this kind of move of God. Exactly what I'm showing you today. Exactly what I'm showing you. The church world is in such a shape until it is mind-boggling to my little heart. I was saved 66 years ago. I remember when it was, whether it was Presbyterian, a Methodist, a Baptist, a Pentecostal, we could do things together and we was all praying for a revival and there was revivals. I've been to, way back then, I've been to Baptist revivals where the Holy Spirit was moving mightily. The greatest revivals that have been in the history of the church world have been Presbyterians and Methodists and Baptists. Dwight L. Moody was in Paris, France, and there's an article written about what was going on. He was preaching at the YMCA. You see, the YMCA used to be a Christian institution. I mean, it was on fire for God. The YMCA wasn't started just to be a place for people to come and claim religion and do things together. It was on fire. I remember that. I remember that. My time, 1952, when I was saved. But it's all over now. I mean, it's just not there. It's gone. Because the church is backslid. The church is in a state of apostasy. Now, the Bible said the church would become apostate before the rapture. Boy, it really has. And I hope somebody is being stirred. Now, I want some calls. Please don't just sit there. I want to hear from you. I've got so much to read. I haven't even begun. But I think it's not fair for me not to give you a chance to respond to me. So I'm giving you the chance right now. 704-391-0588. Grab your phone. 704-391-0588. My ladies are waiting. If you don't call, they've wasted their time to be here, okay? 704-391-0588. If you don't want to call and talk to me, just call and let them send you this article, and you'll have the things that I've said, most of them, not all of them, but you'll have enough of it. It will help you get ready. It will help you dig in. It will help you grow up. And the scriptures of the New Testament support everything in the old. It's all together. What I just read to you from 2 Corinthians is enough to stir you to the core. I mean, that was right out of the writings of Apostle Paul, writing directly to the New Testament church and saying all of that in the Old Testament was just a shadow of what we're supposed to have in the New Testament. That glory that came down on Mount Sinai was just a little picture of what should come down on the house of God and the great churches. And it used to happen. Don't you think it hasn't happened? I'm telling you, it's all kinds of proof that it's happened. Many times, great revivals. I had a book some time ago from a revival that was held at a university. I'm trying to remember. Oh, the Yale University. The Yale University. This happened in about 1900. 1901, 1902, 1903, when people were coming there from all over America, and they was experiencing what they called, and I call it same, sanctification. People with tobacco habits were being delivered. People who was going and spending their time in the worldly pursuits were being set free. And a Holy Ghost revival fell on the Yale University. Did you hear that? The Yale University. The Harvard University. Do you know what that university was started for? To train ministers in the gospel of the Bible. The gospel of the Bible. The Harvard University was begun to start to train ministers in the teaching and the performing of the truths of the Bible and having revival. My friend, it is proof beyond measure. There is no doubt. We're in a backslid church world, utterly apostate. And there is so little moving of the Holy Spirit in churches that most people wouldn't know what to say. In fact, multitudes of people would leave a church if the Holy Spirit started moving in it, because it would shake them to the core. Their sins would become apparent to them. They'd turn from their fornication. How many church people have seen their homes torn apart by church members who became fornicators and adulterers and left their families? Oh, friend, I have dealt with it for 66 years. I know how much of that it is out there in the church world. And the need of the hour is a Holy Ghost revival. A Holy Ghost revival. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they was in one place and one accord. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and the sound filled the whole house. The sound, the rushing of the wind filled the whole house. I've seen that rushing of the wind. I've heard those sounds, and I'm telling you, they're real. And I've got to hear them again. The denomination that I was saved in and was in for so many years just backslid so bad until it's hardly able. Even the best of their churches are far lacking. And I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you how it is. And I'm telling you there is a desperate need for a return to the ways of the Lord. Are you willing? Don't do anything but go back to the Bible. Don't you start setting your own standard for it. Don't you start being a critic. You just get in the Bible. Get yourself back where you ought to be. Don't try to get anybody else back there till you get yourself back there, okay? Till you get to praying. Start spending a few hours, maybe 1 hour every evening. Cut that television off. Nothing has done more damage to the church world than televisions. And then social media has come along even worse than television. I know preachers that spend so much time in their social media, and their preaching is far lacking. I can hear them preach, and I can almost hear them in the social media instead of somewhere on their knees crying out to God. I mean, I know, I see it, and I'm feeling it, and I'm aware of it, and I'm doing something about it in my life, and I'm on my face. And our churches begin, we're calling our sanctuary now the upper room. The upper room, that's what we call it, our sanctuary. 10 days, I'm sorry, the upper room experience got that early church ready for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. 10 days of death and 1 day of living power that set the church afire. And you know what they said about the early church? This was actually said by the critics of the early church. Those that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. They said that of Apostle Paul in the Asian region, Asia, not Asian, Asia region, over in Italy, in that part of the church world. They call the church that is the people that have turned the world upside down. I mean, that's about as plain as you can get. How many of you would like your city turned upside down? How many of you would like for America to be turned upside down? We're desperate. We really are. There's things going on in this nation. I don't see how anybody in the political realm can stay straight very long. I mean, I hope you're praying for the president and the good conservative people that are trying to turn America away from the deep state, they call it. And that's really a good picture. Friend, we need a revival. That's the only answer. That's the only answer. Where's your phone call? I'm amazed. Are you not going to call? Are you angry? Do you not agree with this? Let me have as many calls as I can in 11 minutes that agree. As many calls as possible in 11 minutes that you agree. That you agree with what I said according to the Bible. You're not agreeing with my interpretation. You're agreeing with the Bible and the whole effort that I'm making. Okay? You're only agreeing with what I've read from the scripture. What the Bible has said. Not my interpretation of it. Because, you know, I'm a little bold and I'm kind of tough. And I say it straight as I know how to say it. And you say it over straight. I don't think so. But if I do, please forgive me and just get in your Bible. That's all I'm asking. Get in your Bible and let's have a breakthrough that turn our world and our churches upside down. I'm going to wait on your call while I'm sitting here now. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you have got to say. I want to hear your feelings. Grab your phone right now and call. It's all Brother Chambers. You've gone over the board today. If you think I have, I don't mind you saying that. I really don't. I mean, the Bible is such a marvelous book, and I go to reading it and get into the middle of it, and I'm telling you, I love it. I love this holy book. I love the things that this book is saying. I love what can happen if the church will get back to Pentecost. All right, 2 Corinthians 5. I found something here. I think I'm supposed to read. Forgot now what it was. If I can go find it, we are confident. I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. Oh yes, and to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body. I said that earlier. And to be present with the Lord. Well, the lines are open. Call here, so let me take that, and you are on the air.
Hello, Reverend Chambers.
Hey, my friend.
I'm a young minister, and I've been listening to your program today, and I have been stirred by your words, by the conviction that I feel when you're on this program concerning the church and the state that it's in. And it has caused me to spend more time in prayer than I ever have. I want to see our local churches experience a revival because we will have to experience it before our city can experience it.
When you notice what I read in 2 Corinthians, what Paul said, he said that happened to Israel and the children of Israel and all that downpour of his glory on Mount Sinai, that is to pass away. But what we've got in the Pentecostal experience is to exceed that.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
It's beautiful. Any further comment?
Thank you so much for your program.
Well, I have done my best to say what I believe is from the Bible. I believe it's biblical from the core, and I feel the call to a sovereign move. The manifest presence of God is the sweetest thing on earth, and it has thrilled me to death to remember that my wife entered into that presence at the moment of death, and it's made me be able to handle her passion a little easier, to know the glory that she is experiencing.
Yes, sir. We are looking forward to it, and we're praying with you. We love you, Pastor.
God bless you for calling. God bless you. Hey, now listen. That's important. Do you see that? How many of you out there are hungry for that? Are you willing for that? Do you want to see the glory of God come in all of its splendor? Would you like to see a revival where all of your family got saved? Now think about it. How many children do you have that are unsaved? All my audience out there, think about your children who live so worldly. They live so worldly. It breaks my heart to see how people are departing from the church. Somebody makes them mad. Somebody's ugly to them. And I tell people, hey, you can either go to church with the hypocrites or go to hell with them. And so it's no game to play. It really is no game to play. Now, I want to send you this. I want bad to send you this article. I want to get hundreds of you reading this kind of material and getting past the state of apostasy that maybe you're living in. Many of you are in dead churches, and you're just as comfortable to be in those old dead churches. They sing good. They have good music. The preacher's a nice man, and you kind of like him, and everything's okay. And you think, well, we got a good church, and there's no move of the Holy Spirit. You haven't saw the glory of God in your life. You haven't seen a sinner run down those aisles and fall in the altar weeping and sobbing over his sins. The drunks aren't getting saved. They come to church and keep on drinking. See, are you sick of that? Do you want to see a change in that? Are you tired of the multitude of church people who've left husbands and wives and live in unholy lives? I'm sick of all that. I want to see a change. And I'm going to do everything in my power to help you help me change things. I want you in the middle of your church on fire for God. Now, while you're calling, let me welcome you to visit Paul Creek Church. We are having a sweet move of the Holy Spirit. We really are. And it's growing Sunday by Sunday. I mean, just getting stronger. I've never enjoyed preaching so much in my life. I'm preaching in the morning on the book of Romans chapter 4. If you want to read that chapter. It is breathtaking. Romans chapter 4. A story of Abraham and the faith that staggered not at the promises of God, who against hope believed in hope. Some of the scriptures there. Breathtaking text. Breathtaking. Do you believe God's able to do His glory again? Do you believe that God's able to manifest His presence again? How many of you believe it's possible to have a manifestation of the presence of God? Do you even believe it's possible? I'd like to have some calls of people who even believe it's possible. I think most of you are past the point of believing that it's possible to have a manifestation of God's presence. I think you've become so used to the deadness and the lifelessness and the entertainment of your church or the rock and roll music. That's what churches have had to go to, is rock and roll music, because they can't get people to church with what they got. And so they move to rock and roll music as a way to get the world to come to the church. Well, you've done nothing for the world when you get them in your church, because your music is the world's music. You've done them no good. You've only deceived them. You've only pulled a hypocrite on them, and you're in worse shape than you would have been if you just let your church die. I'd rather see a dead church than a false church. I really had. So I'm calling on you. We'd love to have you in church in the morning. I promise I'll be preaching with all my heart. You'll find a place that love will meet you at the door. Whatever your background, whatever your style of life has been, however you dress, you're not going to be criticized when you walk in this church. You're going to be loved. And you're going to see a church that is pure and that wants the holiness of God, that wants a revival, that wants a moving of the Holy Spirit. And we'd love to have you visit us, and we'll treat you good. And if you come and don't like it, you can leave right in the middle of it. We won't be critical of you. We'll pray for you. I promise you, we care. We really do care. Now, we've got our building paid for. We've got somewhere now maybe a little under 30,000 of just lingering things, radio bills, and where we borrowed money to pay payments when they were too big to make. And so we need your help. If a few of you would help me, we could have all of this paid and done in just a few days. Got a price now on two new air conditions in our fellowship home. Just a wonderful price, but we can't afford them yet. So you could help us. So now let me hear from you. Be a part of this great church. We are doing what much of the world isn't doing. We're telling it like it is. We're bringing you right from the Bible exactly what the Bible says. I challenge anybody out there to show me one place I've left the scripture and got off in my own opinion. I don't believe you can find it. I really don't. I know one thing. If you find a place where this man has left this Bible, I'll get right here and repent and get right back in the scripture. That's how I'm committed to the Bible, to the Bible alone. Now, I want to pray. How many of you would join me in a moment of prayer? Father, you know exactly the audience that I have. Facebook, internet, radio, wherever. Doesn't matter, Father. Wherever somebody has listened, I pray for them. Father, you, by the Holy Spirit, can open their understanding. You can give their mind a spiritual revelation. You can show them the truth of the Bible and what they need to do to get their life straight with you. And I pray for them, Father. I pray for every listener. I pray for every friend. I pray for every enemy, every one of them. I pray in Jesus' name, wanting nothing, Father, but thy honor and thy glory, that Jesus might be magnified, that Jesus might be magnified. And you on the air, may I help you, please? Yes. Can you say that again? I'm trying to get it adjusted. Go ahead.
I was calling to say glad to talk so much that I've been listening to you. This is Sean from Harrisburg.
Do you like what I've said?
Yes, sir. I love talking so much and listening to you on the radio. I just want to let you know, I'm not sure if anybody told you late, but they love you.
I am grateful. You're telling me that I've taught you much, and I love that. Where do you live? Somewhere in North Carolina?
Yes, sir. I live in Harrisburg, North Carolina.
Okay. Well, come to visit us and get on your knees. Go to your church and get in that altar and just pray until heaven comes down.
I will, Reverend Chambers. I love you, son.
I love you, brother, and thank you for calling. God bless your heart. Well, it's been wonderful today, and I promise you I love it. I love bringing you the truth, and I'm gone over time again. I did this last week, and I ask you to please forgive me. I get excited. I really do. God bless you. Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon.
We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the King when he comes. There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. And it may be evening, morning, or at noon. It's the wedding of the bride, united with the groom. And we shall see the King. Come on, let's sing it. Oh yes, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the King when he comes. On that last verse. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call? To crown your Savior, King and Lord of all. And the kingdoms of this world shall soon before him fall. And we shall see the King when he comes. Oh, yes, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the King. The chorus once more. Oh yes, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the King when he comes.